Hey folks, how's it going? Welcome to the show we like to call Transfin Long Shots. Sharad, I am very, very excited today. And I'll tell you why. I won't like throw it to you like the usual. But today we have someone from the real estate sector. And I love real estate because everyone in our country, you know, has an opinion on it. And yes. That's something which touches all of our lives. And, you know, it gives me great pleasure to welcome Saurabh Tyagi from PropCheck. Hey, Saurabh, how's it going?
All well, buddy. Thanks for having me over.
Oh, pleasure is all ours. Saurabh, so let's talk about you a bit before we talk about PropCheck. Would love to, you know, get a basic sense of your journey and, you know, how you ended up in this particular problem solution framework of, you know, looking at home inspections in a very, very targeted and quote unquote business way.
Yeah, sure. So after graduating from IIT Roorkee in 2005, I started working in the real estate sector. Just so happened to me, you know, real estate was just by chance, by accident. Worked for a few consultants.
So you're an electrical engineer, right?
I'm an electrical engineer, right. Yeah. Right. An electrical engineer who cannot even change his tube light at home. So, yeah, that's the kind of an engineer I am. So, yeah. So, after graduating, you know, it was consulting was the, you know, the fancy, you know, domain to be in. And I kind of found my way into one of the IPCs, International Property Consultancies, and worked there for a couple of years and then realized, you know, what we're doing there is very simple. It's all common sense. So why you know, that's in 2008 was the first time where this entrepreneurship bug actually bit me. And that's where I founded a small consulting firm, a very boutique consulting firm, doing everything that any of these fancy IPCs were doing, like feasibility reports, valuations and all. Ran that for 6 years, made some good money. And, you know, then tried my hands at a real estate development project in the holiday home segment, which unfortunately tanked and failed drastically. So went back to the job circuit, worked for a couple of big firms like Religare, the Tribeca, it's the exclusive Indian representative of the Trump organization. So worked there for a couple of years. And then finally, I... you know, once an entrepreneur, always an entrepreneur, like they say, you know, so I had to get back. And that's when I happened to meet this friend called Uttam Reddy. He is now my partner.
Right.
And we got introduced through a common friend from ISB. So, I mean, none of us went to ISB, but we had a common friend who was from ISB and he introduced us. And, you know, it was basically Uttam's idea. To you know, he's a fairly successful developer, right. Real estate developer based out of Hyderabad, and that's when we met up and we discussed this, we thrashed this out, and we're like, yeah, I mean, so my folks are like settled in Canada, and you know, so we bought a property there, and I was like, you know, what is this home inspection? There was something called home inspection report, and for which you know, my dad had to pay around $600, and I was like, why is it needed? Is it like a mandate or something? Like, no, it's not a mandate. It's just the way it is. You know, that's how things run here. So, you know, we saw that report and there were obviously a lot of defects in the house that were found out by the inspector. We submitted that report to the seller and, you know, things were so transparent there, so fair in that country that the seller ended up giving us a discount of 40,000 Canadian dollars. So, I was like, wow, man, we just paid $600 for this report and we got a 40,000, you know, discount on the property, which was unbelievable. And I was like, wow, this is great. And then we did, I mean, I did some looking up on whether this thing exists in India or not. And unfortunately, no one had actually heard of this concept called home inspection. So we kind of thrashed this idea together, Uttam and I, in 2020. Mid of 2020 is when, you know, we started stitching things together,
right.
Planning things out, you know, as to how to go about this. And then 2022 January is when we hit our first revenue. And from there, it's just, you know, the journey has been phenomenal, unbelievable, and that's the early days. That's the story.
And what sort of skill set do you sort of need to flush out a credible home inspection report, right? Like, is it sort of engineering, understanding of deep engineering, the mix of plumbing, carpentry, I don't know, a bunch of things, right? So how do you sort of assemble that kind of skill set? Is it entirely driven through employees or, are there sort of some templatization, et cetera, that can be done?
Yeah, so it's just, you need to have a base knowledge of civil engineering, because so there are multiple elements that come together to build a house, right from your floorings, ceilings, let's say walls, electrical, plumbing, doors, windows, kitchen cabinets, sanitary ware, all these things come together, and that's when a functional house is built. So a civil engineer with maybe a couple of years experience in the quality check process would pretty much be capable enough to conduct such inspections. And of course, we topped it up with technology to make it seamless, to make it error free, and to make it quick. So we developed a mobile application, the help of which, our inspectors would conduct this inspection with almost 95% accuracy. Mm-hmm. So, and of course, the reports are instantly generated, so there is no lag there. It takes about 3 to 4 hours to conduct an inspection, where the inspector would check for a 2 or 3 BHK apartment.
Yeah.
The inspector would obviously, it's a manual process where the inspector has to visit the property physically.
Yeah.
And look at every nook and corner of the house and, follow the checklist, follow the protocols, follow the process as defined in the mobile application. And that's it. He just has to fill up his entries. If there is a defect, the picture is clicked with the mobile application itself. So, at the end of the inspection, the report is instantly generated. We send it for validation and then it's sent out to the customer.
So, interesting. So, yeah. I mean, this the mobile app that you mentioned, I mean, I'm guessing it obviously has like the checklist and the framework all laid out, and there's a fair amount of data input that goes on ground from your team, and the report generation is templatized and it kind of, there's automation that happens there. Is there also, the actual process of validation or inspection or diagnostics, does the app or the software or any platform that you have created also play a role in that? Or is it more of data entry optimization and, efficiency of the end product or the report that comes out?
Yeah, so validation happens offline. It's not in real time. But we are working to incorporate some AI elements into our mobile application so that not for the purpose of validation, but more so for the purpose of automation, where we can just take the camera, move it around the entire house, wherever the defects are there, it could automatically capture it and annotate it to the right defect. We cannot really get rid of the human intervention there, mm-hmm. because a lot of this inspection is done with the help of some equipment and tools that need to be used. So that's where, we got to take readings. For example, we use the multimeter to check for voltage if it is within the tolerance limit. Or we used an RCD socket tester to check for neutral and, the earthing related issues. We use a right angle scale to check for corners, whether they're in right angle or not. We use a thermal camera, to check for dampness, which is not visible to the naked eye. So, these kind of things, of course, because of the requirement of additional tools for conducting this inspection, the mobile application cannot replace the human skills altogether. But yes.
But is it like an integrated ecosystem, in the sense that I'm assuming that you have different set of devices, right? And yeah. I mean, some of them are mechanical, some of them are, electronics based. And obviously there'll be some sort of data capture. But I mean, effectively, is that data capture, through some sort of an API pull coming into your backend? Or is that something which the guy on the, ground supposed to like manually upload or? I mean, how does that?
Yeah. So it's right at the moment, it's quite manual,
right?
Where he takes the reading, He clicks a picture of the reading and uploads the data, right, you know, on the mobile application. So there is a proof of him doing the right job. And of course, there's that has to be manually uploaded. But having said that, we are working towards, you know, improvising this, maybe automizing this a little more so that, you know, we want to minimize the human intervention as much as possible so as to, you know, minimize the chances of errors. But that said, it can't be completely...
I mean, it's very fascinating. I mean, I'm very curious to also understand when you kind of got into this segment, right? What was going on before guys like you got into it? In the sense that, like, I mean, as of today, if I say, you know, just do a simple Google search of like home inspection, even like no broker would open, right? And nobroker.com would have like a home inspection. I mean, it's probably it's the sector is catching up now, right?
Right.
How was it when you kind of, was it like customers were like, what is this that you're selling? Like, was that also a pain point?
It still is. Okay. It still is, Nikhil. In fact, you know, even now, after having spent 1.5 years in the business, you know, customers are not really aware of the concept of home inspection. And that, in fact, is our biggest challenge.
Right.
You know, as soon as they become aware of this, they're like, you know, well, how I wish I knew this earlier. You know, I had bought another property. I could have used you guys there. Mm. And so, I mean, if you look at our conversion rate, you know, 1 out of 5 inquiries that we get gets converted into a deal for us. So, and all of this is remote. You know, right, we don't meet the customers. We don't do a Google session. We don't do anything. It's just a phone call. We explain to them the service and they book the service online.
Right. And so, from the buyer standpoint, right? I mean, they're probably seeing clear value. Like in your own example, $600 investment gave a 40,000 return. From the ultimate seller of the property, are they sort of open to the idea of their property being put under the microscope and then taking that document at face value and not pushing back? And you know, India culturally, I mean, we're improving, but you know, that narrative is report, even I can fetch a report, man, like big deal, right? Why is your report better than mine, right? I mean, that is that thinking. So how do you see the pushback from the ultimate seller side? I mean, I understand that you're probably out of the ecosystem once you've done your job and it's between the buyer and seller, but sort of, you know, the report has your name on it. So how do you sort of manage that?
Yeah, sure. So see, we have 4 major use cases, you know, in the B2C segment of our business, which is home inspection. First is customers who are getting the possession of their property from the builder. You know, they've booked this inspection, this property maybe 4 or 5 years back, and now the builder is giving them the possession. So that's the first. Initially, we used to face a lot of pushback from the builder community.
Yeah.
Right? They're like, you know, who are you guys to, you know, audit my work? You know, I've been in the business for the last 20 years, 30 years. I know my, you know, job. And who are you to check this? So we, of course, had to face some credibility issues, you know, in terms of we're not really an authority in the business. Unfortunately, this industry is not even regulated in India. So we don't need a license to practice home inspection. So that's when we decided to rope in IIT Roorkee. You know, now IIT Roorkee is known to be the mecca of civil engineering in India. In fact, the whole of Asia, it's known for civil engineering. It started as a civil engineering college 175 years back. So I had access, thanks to being an alumni of that college. I reached out to the director and they were like, yes, this is a great initiative. Let's do something. You know, it's in the national interest, you know, to bring about some standardization to this industry. So we tied up with them. We partnered with them and, you know, kind of redesigned the entire checklist, the entire process. And that was a very legit and a very strong reply that we could give to the builder community that, hey, it's not me who's developed this. It's the IIT. You know, who's come up with this this process, this checklist. So we're just following their protocols. And those were early days. But these days, the developers have started approaching us. And, you know, they're like, you know, instead of, you know, checking the quality of my apartment from the customer side and then, you know, submitting them a report with all the defects, why don't you do it for me?
Yeah,
and you know, we will do the desnagging, and you can come do the reinspection again. Until you are satisfied, you don't issue us a certificate. But once you are satisfied, we want you to give us a certificate of quality. So, from being pushed back by the builder community to being invited by the builder community has been a very big transition. So that's the first use case. Now, what you are, what the question that you raised was with regards to the secondary market, where, you know, there are resale happening, 5 or 10 year old properties getting sold again. So yeah, so of course, the seller definitely doesn't want this inspection to be conducted because it's going to point out all the defects in the property and put the transaction into jeopardy. But the buyer, you know, puts it as a precondition that, you know, I'm going to buy this property only subject to a successful inspection. And like you said, you know, we are out of the ecosystem. We don't care. You know, once we've given the report, it's between the buyer and the seller. So in most cases, there are some negotiations that this report helps the buyer negotiate a little bit more. But from the seller side, of course, we are not invited. So that's how it is.
And when you sort of give a report, right, is there a mathematical exercise done on what the value would be to actually fix it? What would it cost? And that's part one. Part two is, when you know that, do you sort of also step in to help in that regard? Like, do you have tie-ups with guys who can actually fix it for them? Or is that something that you don't want to get too much into?
Sharath, very nice question. A very interesting question. In fact, this is exactly what is playing on our mind these days. So there are three stages to it. One is identifying the defect, right? Yeah. And then, of course, estimating the cost for fixing those defects. And then finally, the loop closes by actually fixing those defects, right? So while we do the cost estimation part informally, because as a part of our service, if you book an inspection with us, you also get a 30-day free consultation, a telephonic consultation where you can call us n number of times. There's no limit to understand your report, to understand the root cause of the problem, how can it be fixed, so on and so forth, but telephonically, right? So we do give estimates, the cost estimates informally, casually. But we are considering developing a tool for automating this whole thing. You just enter the defect there. It's like a BOQ sort of a thing that can be generated. And with regards to fixing the defects, yes, very soon, maybe in the next couple of quarters, we will start empaneling certain vendors on our system, where if a customer wants to engage a vendor to fix these defects, we will patch them in. And since they have gone through our quality checks, even the vendor has gone through a background check, the customer can be rest assured that yes. I mean, of course, his work will also get audited by us. So that's on the cards, pretty much on the cards.
Very interesting.
It's, I have a question like a bit on the, from a seller standpoint, right? Especially for a new project, right? Like you mentioned that builders are approaching PropCheck to do an audit and, and basically there'll be some scoring methodology. And if it's high enough, then obviously they would use it also to, in a way, advertise and market that offering.
Yes,
correct?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, but I mean, coming from the financial world, it's akin to a credit rating, right? I mean, and in case of rating, like one of the biggest issues in ratings are conflict management, right? I mean, effectively, the corporate who's getting rated is paying the rating agency, and how do you control that? Do you refuse business on that segment? If you think that it's not really, because at the end of the day, the word gets out pretty quickly, right? I mean, if there's a bad project on which, say a good certification has been given, right? There's a reputational risk that comes with it. So how do you navigate that? Because, I mean, on one end, obviously there's a revenue unlock opportunity, but on the other end, there's a long-term reputational management angle that needs to be pursued.
Right. So, before we take up such projects, we make it absolutely clear that, first of all, we're not rating them,
right?
We are just issuing them a certificate if they pass the bare minimum standards that we have set, for the quality. So, and those standards are predefined, so we tell them, this is what we're going to check. This is the tolerance limit. This is up to which I'm going to pass this project or, fail this element. So if you want the certificate, I'll do the inspection. I'll give you the defects. You fix them to my satisfaction. If you're able to do that, and if you're able to get above 90%, in our basis, the algorithm that we have designed, we issue you the certificate, else we don't. So there's no negative certificate, or there's no negative rating that we give to any developer. So there's no harm as such. Right. It's just that if they don't comply with our standards, they don't get the certificate from us. That's all. So
does that happen on and off?
So we are, in fact, this is a very new thing for us. We've just started doing this off late with a couple of developers. Mm. So the ones who have the right intent, definitely, because see, you know, the real estate industry is very interesting. You know, so these developers that we call so-called developers, even if it's the biggest names like DLF or Lodha or Prestige, Shobha, these are, you know, they're not builders. They're more of project managers.
Yes.
You know, they arrange for the land from somewhere. They arrange for the capital from somewhere. They, you know, hire consultants, third-party consultants like architects or structural consultants. They bring the, you know, bring a team together to execute.
Yeah. Effectively, the job work is also done on contract, right? I mean, effectively.
Yes, it's all contractors, right? Right. The multiple contractors working on a project.
Right.
So even the developers don't really have a problem because, you know, when they are paying the developer, construction quality is basically dependent on two factors. One is the quality of material used, and second is the quality of workmanship.
Yeah.
While the developer can control the quality of material, he cannot control the quality of workmanship just because of the simple fact that there are multiple contractors, subcontractors, petty contractors working on the same site.
Yeah.
Right. So consistency in workmanship is almost impossible to achieve, you know, given the scale of these projects. So, what happens is the developer has the right intent to deliver a world-class product or a quality product to his customers. It's just because of the workmanship issue, you know, it's probably not possible. So that's where, you know, even the developer is happy to onboard us because, you know, there is this retention amount of the contractor that is lying with the developer. He's going to release that only until he's satisfied, right? So that's where, you know, these kind of developers kind of welcome us to sort of help them deliver this quality work. They call it a pre-delivery inspection.
Right.
So it's like a win-win for all. You know, the developer is happy, the customer is happy. Customer can trust the developer even more because it's a third-party inspection and it's not their internal audit.
Right.
Right. So, and of course, like you rightly said, the developer uses this as a marketing tool as well. Mm. You know, that see, we are so concerned, we are so conscious about quality that we've hired a third-party agency.
Right.
So, yeah, that's how it's working.
Interesting.
And, you know, when you sort of go to so many houses and you're running your program, you're running your algorithm, I mean, you're accumulating a fair amount of data, right? I mean, from each household. Like, what's that? What is that a direct use case that you see from that? Because, I mean, if you go in an apartment complex, like, I mean, all houses are the same, but sort of you go to different houses, even in South and Northern India, right? Different styles of making houses are there. What is that data worth something? Like, do you think that could be extrapolated into creating a product of sorts? Or is there anything that you think about?
Yeah. Yes, like you rightly said, we are collecting a lot of data.
Yeah.
But right now, we don't know. We're not figured out how to monetize that data.
Yeah. Hmm.
But that data can definitely help us in improving our processes even further, maybe automating to a large extent, maybe, you know, for an ML or AI program to run on our system, we need a lot of data. So that's where, you know, that's the intent with which we are collecting this data and analyzing it to an extent. But for all revenue generation purposes, I'm not very sure how to monetize this, but yeah, I'm sure we will figure that out once.
Yeah. And you know, sort of earlier, I was asking like partnerships of guys who can actually fix few things, right? I mean, the reason obviously is the intuitive one where you need to get it fixed, so you need it. But generally, when people buy a house, they invest an additional level of capex, if you say, to do things to their house, right? Like
interiors,
interiors and whatnot. And you've got a foot in the door in terms of you know exactly what the dimensions are. You probably have it on the map. Which bed goes where? I mean, you can figure that out, right? Because of the exercise you've done. So, is that something that you think, you know, I can sort of have some kind of a design or a, I don't want to say construction, but sort of a design bent to my service offering, a value-added service of sorts, to sort of pull that in? And, you know, is that an angle that is something that you guys explore or worth exploring? Again, it's business lines, admittedly, but just to get a sense.
Yeah, sure. So not directly, but indirectly. So we definitely don't intend getting into design and execution. Well, never say never, but right at the moment, we don't have any such plans. But we definitely can partner with the right players, you know, because see, like you rightly said, we have the foot in the door and we have the trust of the customer because the customer has engaged us to find the defect. So clearly we are on his side, you know, yeah. He's paying us for it.
Yeah.
And he trusts, the customer blindly trusts us because, you know, we've shown him the real condition of his property. So any recommendation that we make would also be highly trusted, but of course comes with a very big responsibility, you know. So that is where we can leverage that that relationship that we've already built with the customer and probably outsource or recommend such work to some of the big players, whether it is designers or... see, because we are the first ones to enter that ecosystem, you know.
Even before the transaction has taken place, right?
So even before the transaction has actually concluded. Yeah. So that's where so, you know, we say things like, okay, here is an interior designer. I think you should, you know, I recommend this guy. So customer is likely to trust, given, of course, you know, the pricing part of it. If that works out, then yes, there is a business to be made there. Also, maybe much larger than the home inspection directly in terms of revenue. So, yeah.
Saurabh,
how do you sort of... Go ahead, Michael.
No, sir. Carry on.
How do you see a sort of growth, you know, it's sort of adding more and more homes under your belt, doing more and more inspections. That seems to be the obvious growth drivers. But is that going to be the focus, near-term focus, to sort of, you know, just do what you're doing and do it more? Expand the footprint and not worry too much about getting into lateral things. And is that sort of the idea for near-term growth?
Yeah. So in the short term, yes. We, you know, there's a massive opportunity at hand. So if I give you some numbers, there are around 2.5 lakh units, new homes getting delivered in the top 8 cities of India, right? And you can just double this number if you consider that secondary transactions also happening. There are almost equal number of secondary transactions that happen, right? So that's around 5 lakh homes getting transacted in a year in just the top 8 cities, right? Yeah. So that's, if we say, you know, we calculate this with, the, let's say, a 10,000 rupees as an average, you know, inspection cost.
Yeah.
We're talking about a revenue potential of around 500 crores here. So, and this is just the new homes, right? Mm-hmm. Or just the residential part.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't considered the retail aspect. I haven't considered commercial properties, hospitality, hotel projects, medical, healthcare units. In fact, government projects, you know, a lot of institutional buildings and all. So our near-term or short-term focus is going to be increasing this awareness by virtue of our B2C business. And B2C is like the watering hole for our B2B business, right? For example, you know, there are developers who are reaching out and giving us 1,000, 2,000 apartments to inspect in one shot.
Hmm.
But that was possible only because we inspected 15 units of their ongoing project. And, you know, we probably caused some problem or some issues to them. So they were like, you know, let's just catch them at the beginning itself and, you know, use their services to our advantage because we have the intent. We have the right intent to deliver the right quality. So yeah, let's do that. So that's the short-term focus, definitely.
You know, in terms of, I mean, it's very interesting because you obviously like the sale market is obviously a very, very viable angle. Is rental market also something that you look at? Because effectively, like, you know, we keep on reading that there are like 15 million vacant homes, right, in urban India. And I mean, obviously, there's an issue of low rental yields and landlords are not very incentivized to keep upkeep. But rental is something that every 11 months or every 24 months, there is a churn and there is a fair amount of, you know, wear and tear which is happening in these properties. What's your view on that segment?
And fight over the deposit that you pay up.
Absolutely. Very good question. In fact, this is our third use case. Mm-hmm. After the sale transactions, whether it's primary or secondary, this is the third use case where both the landlords and the tenants, you know, it's solving both their problems. The problem of the landlord, like you rightly said, there are 15 million households that are lying vacant, you know. What is the biggest reason is the landlords are very sensitive, you know, towards the upkeep of their property. You know, they're the owners of the property. And the biggest problem of the tenants is that, you know, their security deposit more often than not gets stuck. You know, it's never refunded. And, you know, if we can simply solve this problem by conducting an inspection at the time of, you know, the rental transaction and at the time of the tenant vacating the house, so that, you know, in a very fair and transparent manner, you can determine what damage done to the property by the tenant, of course. And accordingly, the security deposit can be, accordingly, the cost of damages and repairs can be pulled out from the deposit in a very fair and transparent manner. So we have started getting these inquiries, and we have conducted, in fact, a few inspections for landlords as well as for tenants. Mm-hmm. For tenants, it's again, you know, before committing, see, if it's a 10 or 15,000 rupees per month kind of property, the tenants are not really interested.
Yeah.
Right.
But for
properties worth, like, let's say 75, 80,000 a month, or maybe, you know, 1 lakh a month, with a rental of 1 lakh a month, they're committing to spending 11 lakhs over the next 1 year.
Yeah.
So before making that commitment, they don't mind spending that 10,000 or 11,000 rupees to get it inspected. Mm-hmm.
But is, you know, that, like, for example, this was a pretty common norm in the UK, in where I kind of spent a fair amount of time, right? That, I mean, I would never even see my landlord. Like, I must have changed 4 houses. Like, I had no visibility on who my landlord is. It will always be through some lettings agency or a tenancy agency. And when I would, like, go into a new property, there will be, like, an inventory check. There will be, you know, stuff like what you guys are doing in terms of the suitability of the property. And when I check out again, there will be an inventory check, and based on that. But the thing was, there was another intermediary in the middle, right? The tenancy agency, which was kind of doing all of those things. In India, because effectively, the rental yields when it comes to the residential sector is like 2%, 3%. Effectively, an asset values are so inflated, landlords are generally not incentivized to keep an agency which will take like a month's rent out as fee to provide this service. Do you see a change there happening? I mean, obviously there's a rising urbanization, a tailwind, which we saw in the Western part of the world probably 30 years back. I'm sure it's bound to catch up here as well, right? I mean, in terms of lifestyles, in terms of people preferring rental properties, etc. But on ground, do you see that change happening at the pace that you would like to see, or you think that's more of a, you know, 5 year or a 10 year kind of a view?
Yeah. So you know, there are a lot of property management companies mushrooming in India as well. You know, a lot of them actually. So most of these big brokerage houses are getting into property management. And when we say property management, is more to do with rental property management,
yeah,
where, you know, rent collection, finding the tenant, verifying the background, so on and so forth. And of course, maintaining the property, you know, is again, maybe a periodic inspection is part of the management process. So yes, this is picking up, in fact, more so for the NRI owners, NRI property owners, because they badly need this service. Mm. And, but for you know, local owners who are locally present here, well, we are getting there, but yeah, it's going to take, I mean, my view on this would be at least, you know, we're at least 3 to 5 years away from you know, this being a common practice,
right?
So yeah, I mean, but yeah, this is again, we are exploring some tie-ups with some property management companies as well, right, where they can outsource this. One interesting point on the rental part of it. See, one of the biggest problems of the tenant while he's looking out for a property is, you know, he goes onto these property portals like Magic Breaks, 99 Acres, and all, and he sees pictures of the property which are not verified.
Yeah,
maybe, you know, in the pictures the property would look really good, but when they end up visiting the property, they're like, you know, this is not what I saw on the internet. So this is something that we can really solve, because in addition to a PDF format of the report that we give, we also give a digital twin of the property, right? So digital twin is nothing but a 360 degree photography of the property where all the defects are pinpointed,
right?
So it's like you can move around, you can just check out the property, the hotspots, you can just move around, just check how the property looks, the view from the balcony, so on and so forth. So while this is not the intent of doing this, 360 degrees, not to show it to the not to make it look fancy, the property, but it can be used. It has an alternate use of, you know, instead of listing pictures, you can list a 360 degree file and, you know, the tenants can actually get to know, can understand the property better. And there may be very few surprises when they actually visit the property. Okay. So, yeah, this is where we can actually add value.
I was asking, I mean, if you kind of delve a bit deeper into the revenue model or the business model end of things, what are the principal, like, you know, line items that come into your P&L? I mean, you obviously charge a certain amount, you know, like you mentioned 10,000 for every report that you issue. You have a B2C business. You also have a B2B business. In the B2C business, I assume it's purely residential. In the B2B, you're also looking at commercial, right? And I'm assuming there's some amount of advisory or consulting element that also comes on top. And do you look at like the report generation in a different way in a B2B versus B2C from a monetization standpoint? Like, is there like a subscription type play there or, you know, so just kind of give us a bit of a color. That would be very helpful.
Yeah, so you've understood the B2C. It's very straightforward. You know, we conduct inspections, we give a report, we charge for it, yeah. Right? On the B2B front, there are multiple things. You know, so we do project audits, right? So we did something for Tata Steel. They developed they had constructed a medical college, Tata Manipal College, in Jamshedpur, and we conducted the entire building's audit. You know, so that is one. Then there are multi-stage inspections that we offer. So rather than taking a corrective action, you know, they can take a preventive approach towards, you know, while the construction is going on, during the construction phase itself, if we can go check out the property at, you know, critical milestones, mm-hmm. and point out the defects right then and there. So the ultimate product would, you know, turn out to be almost defect-free. Yeah. So that's another multi-stage inspection is another service, which again, depends, you know, our pricing depends on the size of the project and the complexity in the project. We also do complete HOTO, like handover, takeover, where, you know, the project initially is being handled by the developer. And then once it's, you know, it's been 3 or 4 years, the Residents Welfare Association would take over the project, you know, from the builder. So that's where we can conduct an audit. In fact, we are doing one in Gurgaon for a very large community. Again, a Tata project. So, you know, where we are auditing all their MEP assets for their functionality, for their compliance, design, safety, and efficiency. So, you know, so these are some of the other revenue models for us. And of course, the margins are much, much more in B2B as compared to B2C. And yeah, I mean, right now, I think we're in a happy space. So,
and I mean, you know, considering that you also personally come from a consulting background, this business also has a very deep kind of consulting type of a flavor, right? And you yourself mentioned that, I mean, it might not be a tech-centric play, it's more of a tech-enabled type of a play. How do you see, I mean, what's the idea in terms of, you know, raising capital in the future? Or, you know, you are thinking that, you know, do you want to go the VC route? Because this doesn't sound like the most natural VC type of a play, right? At the end of the day, because, I mean, it's kind of feet on the street model. And from there, obviously, the typical argument comes on scale, et cetera, et cetera. We all know that spiel for the right reasons or the wrong reasons. And on the other end of the segment is the idea to kind of grow iteratively. And then probably once you are at a stage where, you know, you want to just raise, you know, more institutional growth capital, where cash flows become more important. And I'm assuming in your business, from a cash flow standpoint, it must be much more, you know, it's not a burn model. So, you know, you must be making profits on everything that you're selling, right? And obviously at the right scale, that becomes interesting more for a growth capital player. So how are you viewing the capital raising journey for a business such as yours?
Yeah, sure. So, it has been 2 months since we are operationally profitable now. So, we're not burning anymore.
Yeah.
From a fundraising perspective, like you rightly said, you know, there has to be a certain scale, you know, to the business. The way we are intentionally running this show right now is by having people on our payrolls, right? All the inspectors are on our payroll so that we can control quality, the process better, right?
And these are mostly civil engineers, I guess, right?
These are all civil engineers. Yeah. They have to be civil engineers. That's a prerequisite. And with at least 5 years, 3 to 5 years experience, you know.
Okay, yeah.
So we train them in our Hyderabad facility, and then we deploy them in their various cities, you know. So we are present in all the major cities in India. So from a scaling perspective, the plan is as follows. One is we're going to go the freelance model, right? So where we'll get the customers, the technology platform will be ours, the equipment will be ours. You know, we just need people to just, you know, on kind of execute it for us, right? And then of course, you know, with this freelance model, we can literally go to every city in India without really worrying too much about efficiency. And, you know, and utilizing our manpower to the fullest. So whenever there's business, we give it to them. When there's no business, it's like, it's more like a side gig. So it's like a Uber kind of a model where we are providing the car even, you know, to the driver. We just need drivers, right? Going forward, there's something called remotely assisted inspections that we would want to, you know, kind of shoot for, which is nothing but, see, essentially what are we using in our inspections? You know, they're just two senses, sight, right? That's one. And your sound, you know, your hearing. These are the two senses. And that can be replaced with a camera or with a mobile phone, let's say, for that matter, you know, where imagine I give you the camera, a mobile phone, you switch on the camera and you start talking to somebody and I keep guiding you. Okay, Nikhil, now you go to this room, you know, use this equipment. Can you just plug it in and see the reading? Can you just let me know the reading? And there's somebody remotely recording all the readings,
right?
And you know, and generating the report. So if that model becomes successful, we'll try it out locally. If that becomes successful, then there is no stopping us. You know, this becomes an international gameplay where we're sitting here, we can conduct inspections in Canada or US. You know, it's like the outsourcing of inspections to the Indian market. So that's something that we would want to experiment with. I'm not sure if we can really give the price advantage there because the manpower cost is heavy, and in fact even logistics are quite expensive in the West. So but yeah, that's the plan. We definitely want to give it a try. So yeah, so that's where the scale would come, and then it becomes an investable business. You know, that's where we definitely would require an to raise capital, and of course this becomes a interesting business for the VCs also.
Right, so the idea here is to kind of grow and maybe bootstrap to take credit and scale iteratively, and only once that inflection point arrives, you're gonna tap the institutional PE/VC market.
Right. So, yeah, absolutely. So, in fact, very interesting things are happening these days, you know. So, it's like, see, home inspection is a technical word. You know, it's very well understood in the West. In India, nobody knows what is home inspection. It's often confused with car inspections also. You know, when we say, you want to sell your car, we get a free home inspection. So, it's not like, you know, they're not inspecting your car, home. They're actually coming to your home to inspect your car. People have started using words like "mere ko ghar ka prop check karana hai." You know, so it's like, you know, the word that the name that we've used for our company is or rather we got lucky to have found this domain, and also maybe the idea came at the right time. The name is quite interesting, and it's kind of synonymous with the business that we do. And people have started using this. I want to get my house prop checked, you know. So, and that's what gave us the idea of coming up with a newspaper advertisement also on prop check. You know, so it's like prop check kiya ke, you know. So once we become a household name, you know. So for example, you know, we often call water heaters as geysers. Now geyser is not, geyser is the name of a brand, one of the first brands that launched water heaters, right? But everyone is like, you know, I've got two geysers at home or whatever. You know, it's just geyser. It's not, or maybe Godrej ki almari. You know, it's not Godrej ki almari. It's more of a a steel almira, right? So like that, we also want to become synonymous with this industry. Like, yeah, prop check. You know, we're gonna get a house prop checked. So once we reach that point, maybe, that's when I would probably consider reaching out to VCs, and maybe VCs would want to reach out to us, you know, once we reach there. So, yeah.
I have a feeling you'll get some cricketers and Bollywood guys, and they're going to use this one-liner, and yeah, that's going to bring the credibility to the entire process, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, why not? We did have some idea around this when getting somebody to kind of be a brand ambassador, but yeah, let's make some more money and then we'll probably...
Yeah, yeah. And, okay. The 20% month-over-month growth can't hurt, so... Growth is already there. I saw that on one of
your
news articles.
Yeah, we're growing at a great pace. So, yeah. Yeah, I'll talk a little about the growth. So, you know, it took us 6 months to hit our first 100 inspections, and then it was 4, right, then 2 months, then 1 month, and now last month we did around 350, 375 odd inspections. So, you know, we are almost touching the 400 mark per month. So, we've done close to 2,000 inspections already. So, and we are growing organically. Every month, there's not much of efforts, honestly, that we are making. It's all coming to us very easily. And yeah, but this is the time to actually, you know, kind of hit the pedal and go to the next orbit. So, yeah.
Yeah. Exciting stuff. And sure, we're fairly sure that you will sort of continue to accelerate. And we'll be watching from the sidelines and wishing for all the best. And it was very interesting to hear the story. It's a very different company from a lot of typical guys that we get, which are sort of VC design, a lot of fintech. And I mean, we've had some.
We are sick of fintechs, it seems.
Yeah, so this is a nice different business, and we like cash flow generating businesses. So
yes,
it's good to hear the story.
Thank you. Thank you, Sharad.
No, absolutely. No, no, Saurav, thanks a lot for your time. This is very educational. And yeah, we have almost like, I think, hit 50 minutes in our chat. And as I said, real estate is something on which even like idiots like us can talk a lot. So I hope you enjoyed the conversation, and wish you all the best. And this is Nikhil Arora. I have with me Sharad Tupron signing off.